stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, System Automation for ZOS Goes on Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you will learn how the Tivoli System Automation for ZOS has expanded to tap its status monitor on Tivoli Enterprise Portal. The speaker for today's teleconference is Jürgen Holtz, Advisory Software Engineer, IBM Tivoli System Automation Technology Development. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to your speaker, Jürgen Holtz.
Thanks. Welcome to this presentation about System Automation for ZOS and the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, also known as TEP. My name is Jürgen Holtz, and I'm a member of the System Automation Design and Development Team in Böblingen, Germany. In the next 60 minutes, I'd like to introduce the new Tivoli Enterprise Portal support to you that we shipped a few months ago in the service stream of System Automation for ZOS version 3.1. This presentation was pre-recorded, so it is not possible to handle questions during the presentation. Therefore, please hold your questions till the end, where I will be happy to entertain a question-answer session for you. On slide 2, please have a look at the legal notes, and let me also quickly move on to slide 3. On slide 3 is the agenda of this presentation. I want to start first with an introduction about IBM Tivoli Monitoring and the value this new support in System Automation for ZOS brings for our customers. After that, we will have a closer look at the System Automation data that is available in the TEP. Next, we will briefly look at the product provided situations that come with System Automation for ZOS. Then we will make an excursion into status items. This powerful concept allows you to add your own monitoring for user-specified objects and to visualize and supervise them in the TEP. And towards the end, I want to give you an overview of the new components, show you how they interact with each other, and how you configure them. Moving on to slide 4. What is the IBM Tivoli Monitoring and its console, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, all about? In today's IT shops, we see a variety of platforms composed of hardware and software from multiple different vendors. Together, these systems represent the IT businesses in such a shop. They range from distributed servers to mainframes, from web services to transaction monitors to database systems. If service levels are not met, it is no longer sufficient to just look at the mainframe or at the performance of a Unix server. To understand the service levels of a business, it is important to look at all aspects of such a business. First, that includes the analysis of transactions from an end-to-end perspective. Second, it is the ability to dive deeper inside of an application for problem determination. And third, it is important to understand the resource utilization of the servers as well as the resource consumption of the individual business transactions and the servers that are involved. IBM Tivoli Monitoring gives you such a complete view on the IT infrastructure performance. With the monitors, so-called ITM agents, all these aspects can be covered and visualized on a single centralized portal, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Let's move to slide 5. So you see that the always growing complexity of our IT environments requires that the information collected by the various monitors can be presented in an integrated way rather than in silos. To date, there are many monitors, such as the ITM products for distributed platforms, or Megamon products for the mainframe platform, and the composite application management products for transaction monitoring. And there are more to come in future. Each one collects a particular aspect of the IT business, and in the TEP, these aspects are integrated and presented together. This way, the TEP is an important building block in the IBM service management strategy, as it helps subject matter experts to quickly isolate problems and to find the root cause of performance problems. However, it is also important to understand the operational characteristics of a business. You want to understand which automated resources are required for a business and what their current status is. You also want to be informed about automated resources that are no longer available so that you can fix this situation as soon as possible before further greater damage may occur. And here, system automation comes into the picture. With the data that System Automation for COS provides, performance, availability, and automation information is presented together in the tab. The support that is provided by System Automation for COS through APAR OA 18415 is the beginning of this integration. An initial starter set of views is provided that shows you the state of the automation in a system, in a Sysplex, and even in the enterprise. Over the time, our intention is to step-by-step integrate even more data into the tab to eliminate the need for a separate console just for the sake of monitoring the automation. For those of you who are not so much familiar with the IBM Tivoli monitoring services infrastructure, the four major components and how they are connected with each other are shown on slide 6. First of all, there is the tab itself, available as a desktop client Java application or as a Java applet running in a Windows Internet Explorer browser window. Except for the browser, the tab is available on Unix and Windows platforms. The tab connects to the so-called Tivoli Enterprise Portal Server that controls the presentation views and that sends the user-specified requests for queries and situations to the Tivoli Monitoring Server, or TEMS. The monitoring server is the control point for data collection. It forwards the requests to the agents that matter. The IBM Tivoli monitoring agents then collect the data and return it to the monitoring server they are connected to. Finally, the query data or the alerts resulting from situations are sent to the tab for display. In larger environments, the monitoring server can be quite busy with collecting the data from so many agents. In this case, a second level of so-called remote monitoring servers can be configured that handle a subset of the ITM agents and that connect to a single hub monitoring server for final consolidation. Each ITM agent runs on the native platform it collects data for. The only exception is the universal agent, which can act as a proxy, for example, to collect data of a third-party product not supported by the existing set of monitoring products. The monitoring server can be configured on Windows, Unix, and of course on the mainframe. The portal server can be configured on Windows and Unix only. Slide 7 shows you the extension to the IBM Tivoli monitoring services infrastructure that come with the System Automation for COS support. First, there is a new native COS agent that collects data for queries and situations. In addition to the agent, there is also System Automation for COS application support that is required to render the automation data on the tab desktop and browser clients. The System Automation for COS ITM agent registers an application called System Automation for COS. Once registered, you can see this application in the tab's physical navigator view. The ITM agent runs on one system in the Sysplex, and from there it can reach each individual system in the same Sysplex. For each system where a System Automation NetView address space is running on, the ITM agent registers a subnode underneath the main application. The ITM agent consists of a set of sample routines that are triggered on behalf of requests for queries or situations. The sampling routines collect the data from System Automation through the NetView program-to-program interface. The application support on the other side consists of the usual common set of items that are provided by all the applications that integrate into the portal. These are A, a set of default queries, B, a set of default workspaces with two or more views to display a default query, C, links between workspaces to allow you to navigate between workspaces for related or more detailed information, and finally D, a set of situations to monitor the automated environment itself. All these items are just an offering. The tab is a highly flexible and customizable user interface, and so it is possible to tailor the queries, the workspaces, and their views, and the situations to best meet the installation's needs. Let's have a look at the new workspaces that come with System Automation for COS. On slide 9, you see an example of the physical navigator view. The composition of this view depends highly on your IT infrastructure and the monitoring products running on it. The navigator starts with a root node called Enterprise and continues with subnodes for the individual platforms. System automation for COS appears in the subtree called COS Systems on the system the ITM agent is running on. The main entry of the application registers with a name that consists of the physical sysplex name, the name of the SA subplex, as specified by the system automation administrator, and finally, the literal SA. The main entry is also referred to as the managing node, and it consists of a set of workspaces with an SA subplex scope. Then, as mentioned before, each system a system automation NetView address space is running on is reported as a subnode underneath the main entry. The name used to identify a subnode consists of the physical sysplex name, the four-character system identifier, and the literal SA agent. Each subnode consists of a set of workspaces with a system scope only. I mentioned the term SA subplex before and should clarify what is meant by it. System automation for COS consists of a single primary automation manager that makes automation decisions in order to satisfy the goals of your automation policy. Surrounded by this manager is a set of automation agents that are responsible for executing orders from the manager and reporting status information back to the manager. There is one automation agent running on each system controlled by the automation manager. The span of control is determined by the membership within the manager's XCF group. The collection of all the systems that joined the same XCF group are referred to as an SA subplex. Let's move to slide 10 and have a look at an overview of the various workspaces and queries. We'll also have a more closer look on the following slides, but what is shown here summarizes the content and navigation of the initial starter set provided with system automation for COS. The yellow workspaces are those with an SA subplex scope, while the green ones have a system scope only. The entry workspace is called Resource Overview. It is composed of a black-white resource list as well as a summary of the requests injected into the automation. From there, navigation is possible to the resource requests workspace for further details on operator requests and service periods. Another course of action is to navigate into the resource details workspace, where you get the gory details for an individual resource, such as the automation manager's view, the agent's view, and resource votes. In addition, you can monitor the automation environment itself, that is, the agents and managers, as well as their states. You can monitor installation-specified status items and so-called monitor resources to keep an eye on the system and application health in the environment. From the automation environment workspace, navigation to further system-level details is available. It includes statistics about the effectiveness of automation and the use of OmegaMon Classic sessions for exception-based automation. Let's move to slide 11. The resource overview workspace is the product's primary workspace. In analogy to ING list, a table of resources is shown in the bottom view. Each cell in the compound status column is colored depending on the actual compound status of the resource. Links are available from each row to the resource details and to the resource requests workspaces. To complement the resource overview, two graphs are shown in the upper part of the workspace. The request summary shows at a glance the number and characteristics of requests in the system, that is, start versus stop requests or winning versus losing requests. From there, you can link to the resource request workspace for further details. The compound status summary on the upper right shows you at a glance the resource's compound status. So the most important information about the automated environment is summarized on this workspace. While you have to check out different panels on a NetView Command Facility 3270 console, the tab presents this information at once. And there are other nice characteristics that come with a graphical user interface, such as the tab. If the arrangement of the columns is not what you like, you can simply drag and drop the columns to where you want to see them. By clicking on the column head, the table is sorted in ascending order. Clicking again reverses the sort order, and clicking once more gets you the original order of the table rows. By default, the resource list shows you all the resources in the environment. You can create your own queries to apply filters for only those resources that are of interest for you. Going to slide 12. This slide shows you the resource details workspace. Here, there are three views. The top view, derived from NCCF ING Vote, shows you the resource votes for this particular resource. Votes result from a request to start or stop a resource, and they can be propagated along the resource dependency path. So on this view, you cannot only see the requests that have been injected for this resource directly, you also see the requests for other resources that depend in a way on the status of this resource. The two bottom views distinguish the automation manager's view of a resource and the automation agent's view of it. The manager view, for example, shows you the resource status, dependencies, and conditions. The report is identical to the NCCF ING info command. The automation agent view, on the other side, shows information like start or stop commands. It also shows you the type of messages being automated and their associated commands. This report is identical to the NCCF DISP info command. For monitor resources, the agent information is different. In such a case, a report identical to DISP MTR is shown, with a detailed health history for this particular monitor resource. Here again, the advantage of a graphical user interface is obvious. All information that you typically need about a resource is presented to you at once. And while it can be sometimes quite cumbersome to page down through multiple panels in a lengthy NCCF ING info report, on the tab you can scroll down fast to the point of interest using your mouse. On slide 13, you see the resource requests workspace. The bar chart on the top of the workspace is already familiar from the resource overview workspace. It has been repeated here to summarize the requests. The bottom part of the workspace shows you the request details similar to the NCCF ING vote command. So you see all the requests that have been injected into your automation environment, whether it is a start or stop request, whether it is winning or losing, the source of the request, its priority, and also more information. Workspace links are enabled to navigate to the resource details workspace for further request details related to a particular resource. Let's go to slide 14, which shows you an example of the monitor resources workspace. This workspace is used to show you at a glance how well your system and its applications are doing. Monitor resources have been introduced with system automation version 2.3 to use commands or regexecs to monitor the health of some object, for example, a job, a device, a file system, whatever can be monitored. With version 3.1 and the integration with the OmegaMon Classic monitors, you can use OmegaMon performance metrics or exceptions to derive a health status for your KIX, IMS, DB2 or MBS and automate the system based on health status changes. The top view summarizes the various health states of your monitor resources. The bottom view shows you the details for each and every monitor resource. So, for example, you see the monitor resource status, the health status, when the object was last monitored, and the status message at that point in time. The link button allows you to navigate to the resource details workspace where you see votes, manager information, and a report similar to DISP MTR for further monitor resource details. On slide 15, you see the example of an automation environment workspace. Both views on this workspace are derived from the NCCF ING AMS command. The top view shows you the detailed information about the primary automation manager. It includes details such as the configuration loaded, the name of the takeover file, the number of resources being automated, etc. The bottom view shows you a list of members in that automation environment. A member can be an agent or a manager. For each member, you see its status, its role, and also the system it is running on. The link button for agent members allows you to navigate to further automation agent details, to automation statistics, or to the OmegaMon Classic Session exploitation for a particular system. Slide 16 shows automation agent details. This report is similar to the MCCF disp sys command that gives you NetView details, the current configuration loaded by this agent, captured messages, and other information. In addition, the top view was added to quickly navigate between agent details for this system and agent details for other systems in the same SA suplex. At this point, I'd like to say a few words to the single column reports that we see here and that we have also seen on previous workspaces. These reports contain a lot of information that, if decomposed and normalized into tables, would result in several tables with just one or two rows each. Since the nature of this data is for information only and not used for situations, the decision was to keep the structure of the reports similar to the one known from the MCCF reports. Subordinate information on these reports start with a greater sign in column 1. Another system-specific workspace is shown on slide 17. It is the summary of OmegaMon Classic sessions configured and in use on a particular system. The bar chart on the top shows you at a glance what OmegaMon sessions exist and how effective they are. That is, you see how many OmegaMon commands are issued and how many exceptions have been called. The bottom view shows you detailed information for each session, its status, VTEM session characteristics, such as the OmegaMon Apple ID, user information and password to log in into OmegaMon, and many more. The last workspace I'd like to show you for the moment is the one for automation statistics on slide 18. I skipped the status items workspace because I will come back to it in a couple of minutes when we have a closer look at status items. The data shown on the automation statistics workspace comes from a report that many people don't even know about on NCCF, namely INGRPT. Admittedly, the INGRPT panel doesn't look very nice, but it contains quite some useful information that demonstrates the effectiveness of your automation. The data has been categorized a bit and is presented on this workspace such that you can see immediately how active your agent is, how busy the primary manager is, and what the messages and command rate per hour is within the report interval. The report interval starts anew when you recycle NetView and start with option cold or when you explicitly reset it. The two rows in the middle and the bottom of the workspace show you the detailed numbers in each category. Eventually, on slide 19, there's a list of additional ideas for future workspaces. Some of the ideas were the result of the early support program that we conducted with two European customers. The list includes workspaces to supervise the status of automation flags in case someone changes them but forgets to redo the change. It also includes the ability to report events immediately, such as critical messages. The statistics should be made available for long-term historic reporting as well as for trend analysis. System automation can also report more details on job level, gateway status information, outstanding operator replies, IPL data that shows how the system was brought up. Looking a bit further down the road, tighter integration of the I/O and process operation components of system automation for COS can be accomplished by presenting hardware-specific workspaces that shows FICON switch information or logical partitions with their status and their settings. Last but not least, we are also looking into scenarios where cross-product links, for example, from system automation to OmegaMon XE for COS and other applications, make it really easy to get a holistic view for one and the same resource. Now that you have seen the workspaces, let's talk a little bit about situations. On slide 21, you see the list of product-provided situations that are delivered with the product. Like the workspaces and the queries, this set is just the starter set. You can use them to create your own copies of situations and modify these copies as you like. The product-provided situations monitor the status of agents, the existence of operator-injected requests, the health status of automated resources, the status of monitor resources, and the status of resources in general. For OmegaMon sessions, situations exist that report cases where OmegaMon sessions are out of order due to network or security issues. All the situations have been assigned to workspaces in the physical navigator view. The suffix of the situation name also tells you the severity of the situation. When a situation becomes true, the color of the icon on the navigator view changes such that crit leads to red color, warn to yellow, and info to turquoise. On slide 22, you see an example of such a colored workspace. System automation for COS benefits from the general capabilities of the tab and behaves as any other application that is integrated into this portal. So when situations are true, the most severe situation determines the color of the workspace icon they are associated with. The severity is then propagated in the resource tree up to the root node called Enterprise. When you place the mouse pointer over such a colored icon, a pop-up window is opened that displays all the situations on this and subordinary nodes. For each situation, you can see its name and where and when it happened. In some cases, a so-called display item tells you for what particular item, for example, an application, the situation is true. You can then pick a situation of interest and click on the link button on the left-hand side to get detailed information in the context of the situation. Now it's time to talk a bit about status items. Let's continue on slide 24. If you are familiar with the Tivoli AF operator and Tivoli Omega View products, you have probably heard before about status items. They have been used to report OmegaMon exceptions or user-defined status into OmegaView, where status lights are turned on based on individual status items or based on the aggregated status of status items. Now, a similar concept is also available with system automation for COS. The concept is kept really simple to facilitate their generic use. Status items are not defined in the automation policy and are therefore independent of any other resource defined in the policy. It is purely up to the installation what kind of information it maps to a particular status item. It is this characteristic that makes status items really powerful. Last but not least, if customers consider a migration from AF Operator or Omega Center Gateway to System Automation for COS, they find a migration path in case they use status items in these products today. So what is a status item? Each status item is represented by a small set of attributes that basically allows the user to identify it, to describe it, to hold a status value, and to describe that status value. Status items are created, updated, and deleted by user-written Rex programs using the new ing-stx utility command. They can be persistent or last only as long as the NetView address space is up and running. A status item is always tied to the system where it is maintained. It is possible to group status items by choosing a qualified name, where the high-level qualifier denotes the group name and the low-level qualifier the actual name of the item in the group. For example, chess2.spool is a status item of name spool in group chess2. The power of status items can be seen when you look at the example on slide 25. This is a customized workspace, of course, that reports the distribution of chess initiator address spaces over the job classes defined in the system. The upper part shows a tabular list of the status items defined, while the bottom part is a view that shows the number of address spaces in each job class as a bar chart. And this is just one example. Let's move on to the next slide to see a real customer example. One customer uses status items to present the status of his Chess3 environment in the tab. Installation-written REX routines periodically retrieve information about Chess3 from console commands, for example, the spool dataset utilization. This information is mapped to status items and then presented in this way in the tab. Going to slide 27. Status items are created once and can be updated many times. The ingstx set command is used to do this. When a status item is first stored in the status item repository, a data pool maintained by the automation manager, it will be created. In all other cases, you can replace existing attributes, such as the status item value, with new attributes. I don't want to cover the specific syntax details here during the presentation. Since I believe that most of you are familiar with system automation commands anyway, you won't find it hard to use this new command. When in doubt, use the online help on the NCCF console that explains in great detail how this command works. Slide 28 shows you two examples that illustrate how ingstx might be used. The first example creates a status item called status item that is associated with group my. Note that the name and the values of all attributes are case sensitive since the netvsis command is preceding the ingstx call. The status item has an initial value of 20 as denoted by the stitrText attribute. In the other example, a status item named another status item is created. The name and all attribute values are translated to uppercase. Going to slide 29. Of course, when you feed the status item repository with status items, you also want to see every now and then what is currently stored inside the repository. Normally, it is expected that you do this from the tab only, but you can do this also from the NCCF console using the ingstx query command. It is possible to specify a wildcard in the name to retrieve any status item with a match for group and name. Going to slide 30. Finally, status items can be cleaned up using the ingstx delete command. This is only necessary if a status item has to be removed from the repository for some reason. If status items are not persistent, they will be automatically removed once the NetView address space is recycled. On the last couple of slides, let me show you the components that interact with each other and how you configure them. On slide 32, beginning on the left-hand side, there is the new ITM agent running in started task, CANSAH. There is also a set of PPI receiver mailboxes maintained by the NetView subsystem interface. Finally, a new OPT task running inside NetView exists that distributes requests to one or more automation tasks for execution. The agent uses the PPI receiver ING-AH-RCV to collect data or for heartbeat processing. Depending on the type of request, the response is put into the corresponding mailbox for this request. So, when a new request arrives in the mailbox for the ING-AH-RCV receiver, the new NetView task ING-AH-PPI picks up the request and validates the request header. In case of a heartbeat request, the response is immediately sent back to the mailbox of the KAH$HTBT receiver, that's the heartbeat receiver. All other requests are distributed in round-robin order to one or more automation tasks. Once a request is completed, the response is sent back to the mailbox owned by the originator of the request. Another PPI receiver exists that handles unsolicited events. Today, the ITM agent is sensitive on events that indicate when a system joins the SA subplex or when a system leaves the subplex. During configuration, you have to specify A, the names of the PPI receiver and the event listener, B, you need to configure the automation tasks, and optionally C, you may adjust timeout values to your specific needs. So let's move on to the next slide to look at this in more detail. On the NetView side, the automation functions, so-called KAH operators, must be configured in the automation policy and assigned to one or more tasks. KAH operators use the predefined prefix AUF-KAH, followed by a two-digit number. The tasks that are assigned to those automated functions must also be configured in NetView's DSI-OPF library. System Automation for COS delivers a sample member, AUF-OPFSO, that already contains three such tasks, AUT-KAH-01 to AUT-KAH-03. In order to communicate with the monitoring agent, the PPI receiver task INGAH-PPI, mentioned on the previous slide, must be active. The task can be started manually with the NetView start command. It can also be started automatically through definitions in CNAME style. The sample member AOF style contains these definitions, and you just need to turn the task init statement from no to yes. As third alternative, you can also let System Automation control the PPI receiver task by defining an APL resource with the appropriate start and stop command for this task. I'm now on slide 34. The PPI receiver task, INGAH-PPI, can be started with an optional initialization member. System Automation provides you a sample member with the default settings. In most cases, it shouldn't be necessary to change them. However, if you have naming conventions for PPI names, this initialization member is the place to change them. But beware, if you change the PPI names on the NetView side, you also have to use the same names when you configure the ITM agent for System Automation, as shown next. After the PPI receiver task was started using any of the methods described before, I recommend to enter the NCCF this PPI command to verify that the NetView PPI receiver is actually active. That's it on the NetView configuration. Let's go to slide 35 and have a look at the ITM agent configuration. This slide summarizes the configuration steps using the Installation and Configuration Assistance tool, in short, called ICAT. I am assuming that you have installed the System Automation for COS support for this function already. It is not mentioned on this slide, but from comments that I've received from both IBMers and customers, the SMPE installation may have to deal with a situation where the prerequisite ITMS infrastructure is already installed in a CSI different from the one where System Automation is installed. We have learned from this and will ease the installation in System Automation for COS version 3.2 later this year. However, to move on in the meantime, the following approach is recommended. Either the new libraries introduced with OA18415 are cloned and copied into the libraries used by ITMS after SMPE install. Or, instead of creating these new libraries, you share them with the ones used by ITMS during SMPE install. In both cases, human control on this installation is required. The optimal case, however, is that both System Automation and ITMS are in fact installed in the same CSI. Back to the configuration. There are a few decisions that you need to make before starting with the configuration. First, like other ITM agents, you have the opportunity to run this agent within its own address space, which I recommend, or within the monitoring server address space if one is configured already in the Sysplex. Second, you have to decide what type of runtime library you want to use. There are several options, and it is basically a trade-off between DASTI space versus maintainability versus simplicity. For testing, I recommend to use a full RTE, which means that all libraries needed by this new ITM agent are allocated and populated completely isolated from other RTEs in your environment. This is the most simple configuration method, but whenever ITMS service is applied, you have to load all your runtime environments anew. For production, a base RTE in combination with a sharing RTE probably works best. The sharing RTE only keeps system-specific configuration options, while the load libraries have to be maintained only once in the base RTE. Third, you have to choose a communication protocol that the ITM agent and the TEMS both understand. The default of IP pipe works nicely in most cases unless you have special security requirements. Like every ITM agent, also the system automation for COS ITM agent has to be registered with a monitoring server. This server may be configured in the same RTE you selected or created for system automation. It can be configured in another RTE or even on another platform. For example, you can register the system automation for COS ITM agent with the hub monitoring server running on the Windows platform or with a remote or hub monitoring server running on some COS system. Once you have made these decisions, and I recommend to use the worksheets in the configuration and user's guide manual for these planning steps, it is time to start ICAT and follow the dialogue for the configuration. Slide 36 describes the specific parameters that are required by the new system automation for COS ITM agent. A new dialogue was added into ICAT where you can change or accept the defaults. Remember, when you change the PPI names in ICAT, you have to use the same PPI names in the NetView configuration and vice versa. All parameters that you have accepted or changed through ICAT are stored in the agent-specific environment file called KAH-ENV in the ARCAN PARU library for a standalone address space configuration. Otherwise, it is the member KDS-ENV if the agent is running inside a monitoring server address space. Besides the parameters in KAH-ENV, there are other output files created by ICAT, and you have to follow the post-configuration steps indicated by the ICAT tool to place the started task procedure CANSAH in the proclip, to activate VTAN nodes, to enable system variable support, and to APF authorize the load libraries. Don't change the output files manually, because these changes will be lost when you reconfigure the application later on again. Finally, on slide 37, when all configuration steps have been completed, the monitoring agent can be started. If you configured the monitoring agent into its own address space and use the default settings, the procedure created by ICAT is called CANSAH. As part of the post-configuration steps, ICAT has asked you to copy this procedure from ARCAN SAMU into a proclip dataset. From there, you can start the task using an MBS start command. If everything was configured correctly, you should see a list of PPI receiver mailboxes that are active, similar to the example shown on this slide. That's it. With this, I am at the end of the presentation. I hope I could show you how much value the integration of system automation for COS in the TEP brings to you. This support is a major milestone for Tivoli's end-to-end monitoring strategy. As I mentioned already, we are just at the beginning of this journey, so expect more to come in the future. If you are now curious, please have a look at the references on slide 38. Here, you find further information for in-depth study. In particular, I'd like to mention a set of two web seminars given by Paul Quickly from IBM Education. Please ask your IBM representative to point you to the appropriate website for a playback of these seminars. Slide 39. With this, I'm at the end of my presentation. Before you leave and we start questions and answers, let me thank you very much for your attention. Now I would like to hand over to the operator.
Thank you, Jürgen. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time that you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. There will be a brief pause between each question to allow everyone a chance to respond. Our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Again, please stand by while we allow everyone a chance to signal. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Once again, we'll pause just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. Our third question, do you plan to implement IBM system automation for ZOS with Tivoli Enterprise Portal? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll pause for just a moment. And our final question, we hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. That concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. At this time, I'll turn the conference back over to Mr. Holtz while we wait for questions. And we do have a question from Tom Angarn. Mr. Angon, your line is open. Please go ahead, sir.
Oops, sorry, I was on mute, but I don't have a question. Sorry.
And ladies and gentlemen, again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And it appears there are no questions at this time. Mr. Holtz, I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing comments.
I would like to thank everyone for your attention and would like to repeat the offering that was also asked in question 4. If there is anything that you would like to know, my email address is on the front page of the presentation. Please don't hesitate to contact me. Thanks again. Thanks again.
That does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you very much for your participation and have a wonderful day.